Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
It Waits, Volume 3, Story Number 1. I'm in my mid to late 30s now, and this is my unexplained story. And to this day, I haven't heard of any encounters like mine. It was around 11-ish, one warm spring night in the early 90s, in an older neighborhood in El Paso, Texas. Myself and three other friends, Marco, Fernie, and Herman, not their real names, were walking Fernie home, but we took a shorter route to his house, which led to the patio door of his residence. We started walking down B Street, and just before C Street, we felt and then noticed someone walking behind us. We all turned and noticed a dark male-looking figure in the shadows standing in the middle of B Street. What was odd was that there was just enough light for us to make out facial features, but we couldn't. It was a solid black being. Herman or Marco shouted at it, using profanity, but it just stood there. All of a sudden, it stretched out its arms to its side and started approaching us. Not knowing what to think, we started running. And as we ran towards the corner of B and C Streets, I remember we all looked back and saw this figure walking in a normal pace. But its arms were growing longer and seemed to be growing more. I also remember that the corner was more lit, but this being was still solid black. We cut through A Street using C Street, and as we approached that corner, we looked back and it was nowhere in sight. But to our surprise, this figure was now on A Street, approaching C Street. It was still a solid black figure, and this time under a light post on A Street, it was still walking at a normal pace, and its arms were longer now. We couldn't believe it. We actually stopped running and stood there at the corner watching this thing. Though I can't remember what profanities we shouted at it as we stood there, it still kept walking towards us. Then it picked up the pace, so we started running down A Street toward Fernie's patio door at the end of A Street. I turned one last time before reaching our destination, and this thing was a lot closer than I thought. Then we reached the patio door. We all looked up A Street, and this being was nowhere in sight. It was gone, just like that. After talking about it later on, we all agreed that the best comparison was to Freddy Krueger in one of the earlier Nightmare on Elm Street movies, in a scene where its shadow or silhouette scratching the walls and his arms get longer. There are more unexplained experiences we had, but this was the first one we had together. Yes, very freaky indeed. Story number 2. I'm not a truck driver, but once I was driving through the Canadian Rockies late at night and I had just passed through a small town. So I'm driving through the pitch black and I need to stop to pee and have a smoke. But because it's so dark, I missed the last rest stop for the next. No problem. The highway's completely deserted, so I pulled to the side of the road, had my pee while staring out into the dark, and then lit up a cigarette and stood by my car. As I'm standing there, I see the figure of a man just walking out of the tree line. I'm miles from civilization, patchy cell service, and there isn't a soul on the road. I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me and maybe it was a deer, but nope, this was a man. So I calmly walk back to the driver's door and get in, locking the doors behind me. I'm keeping my eyes on this guy as I nervously smoke and have my car and drive ready to peel out, but for some reason, I just stayed put. The guy walks right up to my passenger door and knocks on the window. I crack the window and I ask, "What's up?" He replies to me in a very serious tone, "I need you to call the cops." I cautiously ask why, and he tells me he had gone out into the woods to kill himself, but he couldn't go through with it because he had thought of his daughters right before he was about to do it. I call the cops while the guy's quietly crying outside. He had a kitchen knife that he was going to use on himself, so I stayed in the car and advised him maybe to leave the knife on the ground before the cops arrived. The cops came and got him, but before they left with him, I gave him a solid heart-to-heart and wished him well. I still think about him. I hope he was able to turn things around. Story number 3. Well, it was creepy at first. I pulled into a Purdue plant, drop my empty trailer, go park where they allow bobtails to sit right next to a nice little pond. My pickup was in 12 hours, so I do my PTI and lay down in the bunk. About 3 a.m., I hear something tapping on my passenger side door. I got up, look out the window expecting to see someone. Maybe a driver asking for a bumper check, but no one's there. I'm thinking maybe I'm hearing things, so I go back to lay down. As soon as my head hits the pillow, I hear the tapping again, except this time it's on my driver's side. Same thing as before. I jump up, look out my window, but nothing. Double lock my doors just in case and open my side hatches so I can hear what's going on outside. After about 15 minutes, I hear a very light splat, splat, splat going along the driver's side of the truck. I slowly get up, planning to look out my window at the exact moment whoever it is knocks on my door, and then I hear a thud coming from the roof of the cab. I stopped, grabbed my tire thumper off its hook, and ready myself for whatever the hell was going on. Then a mother effing goose falls off the top of the truck and lands on my hood, stands up, waddles back and forth, and looks at me. As we make eye contact, the tapping at my door starts again. I say, screw this, and throw open the driver's side door, and there's another damn goose waddling away with all the speed it can manage, honking like a five-year-old who just found the horn on his new bike. The pond I parked next to had a ton of them just ticking around. Needless to say, it was hard to sleep that night because every couple of minutes the damn geese would peck at my door, land on the cab, and waddle around. Next story. Parked off an exit ramp at about 3 a.m. for my 10-hour. The moon was full and high, and I spot an unmistakably human figure in a nearby cut cornfield. A little spooky, but I just wrote it off as an old-timer putting up a scarecrow for the grandkids. Started watching a few videos before turning in, and out of the corner of my vision, I thought I saw movement. I shut my lights off to get a good look, and I saw the figure, but nothing else. I couldn't be sure, but it looked like maybe he was in a different spot, maybe a little closer even. I was definitely feeling a bit spooked. Highway was devoid of anyone besides a car passing every 10 minutes or so. I didn't want to, but I had to jump out to pee. I considered a bottle, but I told myself I was being childish. I took a look at the figure, and it was right where I figured it should be. I hopped out, walked between my truck and the trailer, and started peeing. Every fiber of my being wanted to look. I told myself again I was being foolish, but I couldn't help it. I looked out. The field was empty. The figure wasn't there. My stomach dropped, and I jumped back into my truck. I took off down the highway and didn't give one shit about a violation. Stopped 40 minutes up the road at a well-lit and very full Love's. Haven't stopped on a ramp since that night. Next story. I used to deliver hotshot freight across the Great Plains, Minnesota area. One night, around 2 a.m., I was hauling across North Dakota trying to reach Montana by morning. I was delivering a particularly valuable tractor part that a farm desperately needed for the following day. I began to notice some highway hypnosis sneaking up on me, but it didn't really bother me because I'd been through it hundreds of times before. Anyone who has driven across North Dakota knows that it is incredibly flat, like really flat. There also tends to be very straight and long roads. It's somewhat easy to see things on the road that are far away, even at night. I noticed something long on the road, spanning my entire lane, approximately half a mile in front of me. I slowed down a little and prepared to move into the opposite lane, thinking it was some retread off a blown tire. As I got closer, I noticed it was two people, lying head to toe across the entire lane. I swerved onto the other lane, successfully avoiding them, and came to an almost complete stop, but they didn't move, not an inch. I was just about to back up and check on them, when I remembered a story that an old graybeard colleague of mine told me. He told me that in certain remote areas, people will lie down in the middle of the road and wait for a car truck to stop and see what's going on. At that point, the road layers, along with whoever else is hiding in the nearby bushes, will beat the shit out of the driver and steal his vehicle, leaving him in the middle of nowhere. I decided not to back up, and when the two people in the road saw me put my truck back in gear and drive away, they both got up and walked towards the shoulder. I called the police and explained what happened, but we were so far away from civilization that I doubt anything came of it. Thanks to that old graybeard, I got to keep my truck, my job, and my teeth. Next story. I used to drive a truck in northern Manitoba. There's a road in the northeast you can drive for several hours and see very few vehicles. The road is quite flat and straight in stretches. Of course, this is deep in the bush. One day, I saw something cross the road in the distance, very large, easily past the hood of my truck, but not long, like a moose or elk, just tall. It disappeared into the bush, and as I drove by the spot, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I heard days later a tow truck driver describing on the radio his encounter with a similar creature, only he was much more clear he had spotted Bigfoot. This guy went out to some length to explain he didn't want people thinking he was crazy, but he was sure what he saw. I asked an Aboriginal client of mine in a nearby community, and he said the elders spoke of them as commonly the same way they spoke of other animals. I don't know what I saw that day, but I'm certain it wasn't a bear, moose, deer, or elk. I just don't know what the hell it was. Next story. My friend drove for a few years a while back. He told me he was driving a rig very late at night in Utah, driving on a lesser-used two-lane highway. He said he remembers feeling very alert that night, so he noticed what appeared to be a figure manifesting up ahead on the dark road. Told me it wasn't on the road, but just next to it. He then comes to stop and grabs his heavy-duty flashlight and points it at the figure. He then describes it. Apparently, this humanoid creature had a dead coyote it was eating, and the truck had gotten its attention and pissed it off, so it sort of stands up so he can get a full view of the thing. It was gaunt, with very big eyes, and of course the coyote blood all over its face. Its height was about 6'2", and it had skinny limbs, no clothing. He then describes how it started to shuffle slowly towards the truck. Not only does he not have a weapon at the time, the only usable weapon being his flashlight is actively helping him view this creature. He decides to book it and leave. Had no problem passing it. Turned around to see it standing in the middle of the road on two legs as he drove away. When he reached the nearest rest stop, he saw two other truckers talking. Apparently my friend wasn't the only one to see the thing. Both of the two guys looked as horrified as he was. As for my opinion on my friend's encounter, I have to say my friend isn't one to lie. So his story had me intrigued. I told him maybe what he saw was some mentally ill person out there, but he brushed the idea off, saying he knew what he saw wasn't human. I'm not the superstitious type, but his story really did creep me out. Next story. Around 2006-ish, I was driving a flatbed, pick up a load of construction material, drywall, roofing, don't remember, but it was prepackaged in boxes, and I remember having to use strap protectors on the load in rural Tennessee. Memory is foggy now, but I want to say it was between Memphis and Nashville, but closer to the intersection of the Mississippi-Alabama-Tennessee state line. Tarp required, so I strapped everything down, tarped the load, and left the shipper. About 5 miles down the road in the middle of nowhere woods on a two-lane road, I noticed my tarp flapping in the wind. Found a wide shoulder and pulled over to fix it. I realized that I just flat did a bad job tarping this load and decided to redo it on the side of the road. Undid all the bungee straps, dragged the tarps off, rolled them back up, climbed up on the load and started unrolling the tarps again. Then I see a guy walking down the same side of the road I'm on, coming towards my truck. I don't think anything about it other than to keep an eye on him, cause I'm in the middle of nowhere, and I continue what I was doing. About that time, I have the tarp set in place, and I'm climbing down to start hooking the bungee straps back on. This dude is getting close enough that I'm now paying more attention to him than I am to tarping my load. I grab my winch bar and set it on the trailer where I'm working on, just in case. It's 8 pounds solid metal bar, about 4 feet long, tapered to a blunt point on one end and hollow on the other, used for tightening straps and chains, etc. The guy gets to me, and the first thing I notice is his hair. It's like a mullet, but its patches all get out. Like, he tried to cut his own hair and had a seizure in the process and said, "Forget it, good enough to party." The next thing I notice were his eyes, which I can only describe as off, like they were clear. I didn't think he was drunk or high or anything, but it also gave me the distinct impression that the elevator didn't go all the way up. Clothes were dirty and not well maintained, with dirty white tennis shoes, because I remember he didn't have laces on one shoe, and the tongue was noticeably out of place. He stopped by me, waits until I acknowledge him, and just says, "I've got a long walk." I'm like, "Yeah, man, you do. We're in the middle of nowhere." Making it clear there's no ride to be had here, he nods, start walking by me, and continues on his way. Stops at about the driver door of my truck and turns around, comes back to me and repeats himself, "I've got a long walk." At this point, I explain that I can't give him a ride, insurance and all that. Apologize for not being able to help him out, and he seems to accept this, turns around and leaves. I waited for him to get a little ways away from my truck and started working on finishing the tarp job. I still kept an eye on him, and he's moving away from me. As I'm putting on the last of the bungee straps, I looked over to check where he's at, and he's turned around heading back towards me, now about 100 yards in front of my truck, and coming back my way. It looks like he's talking on a cell phone, had his hand up to his face, and I can barely make out his mouth moving, his other hand waving like he's having a conversation with someone. I finish with the straps, grab my winch bar, and climbed into my truck as he's about 10 yards away. Soon I'm in the cab, I lock the door and set the winch bar on the passenger seat, just in case. I looked at the guy and realized he's not talking on a phone. He's talking to his hand, and now I'm nervous, because he doesn't look like he's having a nice, pleasant chat. It looks more like an angry conversation. Cranked the truck up, put it in gear, and pulled out. Didn't look for traffic or anything. I passed him, and he just looked at me, still holding his hand to his face with his dead-ass look on his face, just staring at me. Gave me the creeps. About that time, I hit fifth or sixth gear. I looked in the mirror, and there was no one there. Next story. I was driving through eastern Washington on some state roads. There were no rest stops or cities, but I had done the route enough to know there were these massive dirt areas every 40 miles where you could park safely away from the road. I decided to call it a night and close my blinds and lay down to watch something on my phone. After roughly an hour, I heard someone trying to open the driver's side door. I haven't heard any vehicles on the road the whole time. I'm parked, but I get up to peek out the curtains. As I'm looking out into the blackness of the driver's side window, I hear them try the passenger side door. I peek down from the top of the curtain, but can't see anything, so I started the truck and kicked on the lights. I'm fairly freaked out at this point, but I'm still not opening the curtains, but peeking through gaps. Nothing. Nobody standing near either of my doors or parked within sight. I took a deep breath, closed the sleeper curtains too, because for some reason, that's going to make things better, right? After laying back down and convincing myself that something blew against the truck and it only sounded like the doors, it was fairly windy and a lot of flat ground. I heard what sounded like someone trying to pry open the vents on the sleeper. The door handle starts clicking again, and the truck starts shifting like someone's climbing on it. I hit the little alarm button in the sleeper, hoping to spook them off, but it does nothing but add to the noise of door handles, fingers tapping on windows and chassis, and the hiss of air coming out of the suspension. Then suddenly it stopped. A few moments pass, where I can only hear myself breathing and my heart pounding before I heard another truck approach and then drive by. I spent the next few hours waiting for whatever it was to come back, but it never did. In the morning, I couldn't find any footprints or damage to my truck, but on every window were tiny human-looking handprints, like a toddler had licked their hand and stuck it to my window over and over. Next story. My uncle was driving between Great Falls and Helena at about 3 a.m. He had his high beams on as it was a lonely drive and quiet on the highway. In the distance, he saw something cross the median and started to slow his approach, thinking it was a deer. As he got closer, he realized it was standing up, and so he slowed down to about 30 miles an hour. He realized what it was and started to panic. A man in blue coveralls with a pig's head. Not a mask, but literally the head of a pig on his shoulder. My uncle moved to the left lane, and as he passed, pig head lunged at the truck. My uncle didn't stop to check if he'd grabbed on till he was in the safety of Helena. Nothing was out of the ordinary there, but on that stretch of road now, he doesn't slow down for anything. Next story. Not a truck driver, but I've spent the past 4 years driving every day and night for work. I was in a fairly rural part of Mississippi, somewhere between Clarksdale and Greenwood. Important note, it's all two-lane highway, the 250-mile drive home. The weather had turned pretty sour as I was leaving Clarksdale. Called my wife and told her there was high wind advisories and every possible tornado threat throughout the Delta, and I'd call her as soon as I made it to a safe area again. I'd already been working for 14 hours when I got in the truck, so I ate dinner, grabbed some coffee to stay awake and alert. Now, if you've never driven through flat farmland at night for 100 miles, it's very fatiguing and spooky without inclement weather. I'd driven maybe 30 miles out into the farmland when hail started bouncing off my truck. Being a Mississippi native, I knew in July hail meant tornado. I pulled off to the side. I'm in the middle of nowhere. No lights to be seen, no cars behind or in front of me. Started looking for the storm/tornado I believed is approaching. I rolled the passenger window down and shone a bright flashlight off into the night. Nothing there. Turned to the driver's side, and this guy has his face pushed up against the glass, grinning from ear to ear. He was a tall male, very, very pale white. Eyes were sunk back quite a bit. The grin is what truly got me. It was corner to corner with crooked teeth like a Cheshire cat. I screamed, and he was gone. I slammed the truck and drive and took off. We have all the time running cameras in our truck. I got to the first safe place to stop and called my wife. I didn't want to scare her, so I didn't mention the guy or the hailstorm. I did, however, pull the SD card and check the camera. I promise you, this guy never popped up on my front or rear cameras. I've always played it off as my imagination. I will say I don't drive through the Delta in the dark anymore, if I don't absolutely have to. Next story. I've seen some rather screwed up stuff over the years, from bad wrecks, drug addicts, panhandlers, and more. There used to be a small rest area in North Dakota on US 52, the intersection of North Dakota 30 near Sykeston. I came out of the building after using the facilities and got ready to leave. As I was starting to pull out, a guy opened his car door. The angle was just right to see that he was buck naked. Then he gets out of his car and starts walking around his car. I'm not sure if he was a druggie or just thought, this is a good way to pick up a truck driver I've never met before. I just drove away and didn't look back. Maybe that isn't creepy in the sense that maybe other people think of it, but I thought it was. One story that was creepy to me was that I was driving across Kansas on I-70 headed west. There's a pretty long stretch out there that's just a couple of little towns and not much else. As the night wore on, I realized I'd passed several times by this beat-up old motorhome. Several people sat with their noses almost pressed to the window watching me with creepy interest as they passed. Every time, and I never noticed where we passed them at all. A couple of times I swear they passed me twice, but there was no rest areas or exits to pull off at. I would have seen them stop somewhere, but yet they were passing me again. They all looked like some variant of Charles Manson or some other freaky type. Had me pretty uptight by the time I got to the TA truck stop in Limon and stopped for the night. And almost every driver I know has seen stuff late at night that just can't be explained. Maybe it's fatigue or maybe not. But I've seen very large man-like shadows cross the road way too fast for their size several times. I ain't saying it's a Bigfoot. Never got a clear view. Was always at the end of the headlights where I couldn't be entirely sure I'd seen anything. But it sure looked like a large something crossing a whole road and just a couple of steps. Really weird. Next story. When I was in high school, my friends and I used to go near graveyards at night and tell scary stories. One night, we're all just sitting and telling stories from the corner of my eye. I see a figure get up from the grave, the way a person gets up when they're lying on the floor, and walk towards the rear gate. I freaked out and asked those if they saw what I saw, and everyone nodded yes. We effing ran for our lives, and one of our friends got so scared that he had fever for 3 days. A few weeks later, we found out that this guy was real, and he used to sleep with his deceased wife's grave. I never had such confusing emotions that came after learning this. Even after knowing, I still had that scary feeling, and to tell you the truth, I was kind of sad for the guy. Next story. Not a trucker, but I had to drive home from D.C. to Nowhere, Kansas after getting off active duty. I didn't have anything but my car, some clothes, and my late grandpa's old service revolver to my name. Couldn't leave base until 5 p.m., which put me in West Virginia after dark. My GPS decided to transfer me between highways via a few back roads. In the meantime, it just quits working. No cell phone, no GPS, and it's dark in the boonies. Figured I'd call it a night and find my way out from my Atlas in the morning. I pulled off the road, locked my doors, put up sunshades on my window, and got some sleep. It was a nice hatchback sleeper. I was just starting to doze off when I hear footsteps on gravel. I perk up, and it's definitely something on two legs, and it's definitely getting closer. So I fumbled to get my sidearm without looking while trying to peek through the shade to see anything. Black, I can't see a damn thing. All the wildlife is silent, and I can hear footsteps circling the car. Back passenger handle pulled, front driver, driver rear, hatch. Silence, I'm hoping they'll think it's abandoned and F off. Pulled back the hammer on the revolver, and as soon as it clicks, there's a pounding on the hatch glass. I rip the sunshade down and see a man in an open-plaid shirt just going to town on my window with his fist and eyes that I've only seen on a rabbit right before slaughter. We lock eyes, and he just starts screaming. Not even worse, just straight-up screaming. So I scream back that I'll blow his head off if he doesn't F off. He takes off to the rear of the car. Caught my breath, climbed into the driver's seat, and started the car to get the F out of there. Suddenly, my window just exploded into nothing. Later learned that broken spark plugs will do that. And he reaches in the car and yanks me out the window. Terrified, I felt awkward as shit as I cleared the window, so I'm on the ground, he's kicking the shit out of me, and I'm scrambling trying to find the gun I dropped in the commotion. Seemingly out of nowhere, this random middle-aged guy comes charging out of the woods and decks the guy. They tussle a bit, I find the gun in the car. Crazy guy F's off and I draw down on crazy too. He puts his hands up asking me not to shoot and generally being rational. I ask what he was doing out here and he said, "Well, I'm not here to F spiders," then explain. He's out here on vacation in a cabin, heard screaming and came to help. I thanked him and got out of there. Found the Walmart a few towns over and slept under a street lamp. Called my dad the next day to tell him I'd be late because I had to replace a window and explain what happened. When he heard the spider thing, he laughed and made a joke about his dad, always saying that because he had a bunch of Australian pilot buddies. Now, my grandpa died before I was born, and I'd actually never seen a photo of him, aside from a service photo when he was about 20. So I got home, and I go to put grandpa's gun back in dad's lockbox. I'm almost pooped my pants when I see a photo inside of my dad with a dude that saved me, down to the clothes. I flip it over, and it's got my dad and my grandpa's name on it, and 1990 on it. So I asked my dad when that picture was, and he says it's special because it was taken the morning of my grandfather's accident. I'm not saying I believe in ghosts, but it's a real coincidence that the guy who saved me from a tweaker is a dead ringer for the guy whose gun I was trying to grab to protect me. I think the ghost of my dead grandpa beat a tweaker's ass after they broke into my car. Next story. As a crew guy of an off-road racing team in Baja California, Mexico, I got to test drive some rigs and trucks. So technically, I am a truck driver. We were driving down south along the Sea of Cortez with a buddy at night at this 4-hour dirt road to Gonzaga, which is pretty much in the middle of nowhere in the desert, and we see the lights of a car behind coming down fast and now effectively tailing us, and the bastard had bar mount headlights on top, or what seemed like it, which are super bright. It's normal, or was. The locals and gringos get wasted in the nearest, now former, spring breaker town and then go down this super fast road to test their rigs since there's no police there. So I try waving him off to get the guy to keep them lights low since he's blinding us, but he isn't slowing down a bit, nor turned his roof lights off, and it was a dangerous super dark road. Finally, near a curve near the shore, found a spot to bail off the road without crashing, and we see lights passing us by super fast and going straight to the curve, and we were like, that's it, he's going to crash down to the sea. But the lights didn't fall and kept going straight into the beach and the sea, and then pitched up brightly to the night sky and disappeared. We didn't say a word for a minute or so, and then my buddy goes, did you see it? And I say, the flying truck? Didn't talk about it anymore, as simply didn't make sense to talk about it or with anyone else when we arrived. Next story. I'm not a truck driver, but the story is from a truck driver. I was working the overnight shift from Friday night into Saturday morning at a gas station. About 6 a.m., a semi pulls into the fuel aisle. Driver gets out and almost runs into the store, clearly shaken. His face is completely white, and he's obviously upset. My first thought was the poor man had hit someone on the road. We get a lot of drunks walking across a 4-lane highway in front of the store. So I ask, what's wrong? And he looks at me for a second and is like, I'm not crazy. Now I'm thinking, great, I'm here all alone, and this guy is losing it. I say, of course not. I just saw something huge on the side of the road. Like a deer or bear? We had a bear get in the dumpster last week. No, bigger than a bear on its back legs. Maybe a big person? It picked up a dead buck on the side of the road and carried it over its shoulder into the woods. I can only stare at him. My brain cannot deal with this information this late in a shift. A local comes up to the counter to get his usual. And the guy tells him the story. The local says, that's the Bigfoot that lives near the county line. The truck driver and I are both looking at this guy like he has two heads. He has to be joking. The truck driver pays for the fuel at record speed and leaves, never to be seen again. The local still insists it's Bigfoot. I just don't go into the woods because the truth is, I don't know. Next story. I was making a delivery out in the middle of nowhere in the Midwest, literally rolling fields as far as you could see. After I made my delivery, I didn't have any time to get anywhere else, and it was getting late, so I just parked on their property and took my 10. It was kind of creepy because no lights, but I was tired, so I closed my curtains, locked my doors, and laid down to sleep. About 3 hours from my break being over, it sounded like what I could only describe as about 5 or 10 people pushing on either side of my truck, making it rock back and forth, and what sounded like hands frantically beating on the sides of my truck. I didn't sleep anymore during that break, and it's the only time I ever logged a pre-trip inspection that was less than 3 seconds. As soon as I could get my duty status changed, I went on the drive line and hauled ass out of there. My door stayed locked until it was daylight, and I could get to a truck stop that had a decent amount of people at it. Never found out what it was, either. I never found any handprints or any evidence of tampering on my truck. Next story. I'm an owner-operator, over-the-road trucker, and my time driving across country, probably the freakiest encounter I had was going through Cabbage Pass in Oregon. Let me set the scene. It's dark and late fall in 2016. I'm coming from Florida with a load of beer headed to Portland, Oregon. It's about 2 a.m. and it's cold out. I had just left a truck stop in Utah on I-84. I can't remember the name of it, but it had a Thunderbird as its logo, and it's probably on or very near a reservation. My wife and I had just gotten something to eat, and we're in the driver's lounge enjoying our extremely late lunch. This is a common thing in the industry. Anyway, we get done and head back to my tractor. Everything seems like any other night. We get going and get into the pass. This is where things get strange. Ahead of me in the distance is another trucker. He's not moving terribly fast. My guess was a heavy load like mine. It's starting to snow a bit. As I'm putting up the pass, I get close enough to see the company logo. It's a Prime Inc. rig. In my head, I'm thinking that explains the slug pace up the mountain. As close as I can get, I can't seem to pass him. A few turns up the pass, and somehow I lost sight of him. Didn't think much of it at the time. The downside is the next couple turns, he probably hit the grade and coasted down. Whatever. I get to the Oregon side of the pass and hit the pilot down there. Wife needs a toilet. We get stopped and head inside. I didn't see any Prime trucks in the lot. Figured he just kept going. Until I heard a Swift driver talking. He was saying a Prime driver was trying to run him off the road. Just about the time an older driver starts talking. About 10 years before I even got my CDL, a Prime driver went over the pass near the top. A purple and black tractor. Well, damn. I saw a purple and black Prime tractor on the pass. Coincidence? Has to be. I say as much, and the older driver gives me a look. Did you pass him? Asked the driver, to which I said I couldn't. He got pale. Now I'm getting antsy. The hell? Okay, driver, what's going on? A purple and black Prime goes over the pass? What happened? Seems he lost control when he hit black ice and went off the top of the pass. He died. People have been seeing that tractor going up the pass and not seeing it on the other side. Anywhere. Now, I'm officially done with this conversation and was going to leave when the driver asked if my CB was on. Well, no, it's 2 a.m. and my wife was sleepy. Be kind of rude. The older driver tells me that probably saved our lives. A few weeks beforehand, a fatality accident happened on the pass at the top on black ice after talking to a driver on the CB. That was all the provocation I needed to never go over Cabbage Pass again. A ghost trucker? No thanks. We're a hard group of people to spook, but when our lifelines become liabilities, that's unsettling. I didn't get a lot of sleep for a couple of days. That freaked me out.